Hey guys, it's Nancy Press, your co-host. This is Live Cope, LLC. We're a self-help podcast out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. I am back to you today with a new episode for our new series, Women Who Inspire. This series is leading up to International Women's Day, which is March 8th of this year. This is a 10-episode series, and I hope that you will be as inspired as I have been talking to this different woman from the Pikes Peak region. And today, I am so excited because I have a very special guest, Elle Livinggood. Elle is a community advocacy coordinator for the Independence Center here in Colorado Springs. Elle, thank you for being here with us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Elle, tell me a little bit about some of the work that you do with the Independence Center.
So, I do a lot of advocacy work, currently focusing on three main areas: healthcare in Colorado Springs, service animals, and then general disability awareness.
Wow. Okay, very cool. So, what are some of the things that you have personally dealt with in your personal life that have, you know, led you to this path of work? What, you know, this is your life's work. So, what led you here?
Well, I'm deaf, and so disability rights is a big passion of mine.
Yeah.
And I used to be a teacher for the deaf, and education wasn't really the place that I could really affect much change, and because there's all, everything's already set up.
Oh,
and
okay.
You can't really change much there. But I really wanted to get out and work more in advocacy in general. And so that's what led me to working in general disability realm and really focusing on advocacy in the community.
Wow, that's very impressive. So you said, were you born? Did something happen with the deafness? What happened with that?
I had a progressive hearing loss, and I became deaf by the time I was 18.
Wow. Okay. So when did, like, was there a medical point where you found this out as a teen, or when was it that?
Just kind of growing up, it was constantly degrading, and then really became apparent much more in my freshman year of college, and all of a sudden I can't hear anything anymore. Went from, like, functionally hard of hearing to profoundly deaf within a year.
Wow. So how did you overcome, or how did you work with this new, well, this is where my life is going? How did you do that?
You just kind of figure it out. A lot of frustration, anger, and isolation, I guess. And then I had about 3 years of that, and then I started to learn sign language and really got involved in the deaf community. And then I went and did my master's in deaf education at the National Technical Institute for the National Technical Institute for the Deaf at Rochester Institute of Technology, which is in Rochester, New York.
Wow.
And so I went there, and there's a huge deaf community, and I took my cochlear implants off and just immersed myself for 2 years and really fell in love with the deaf community and found a lot of connection, I guess you would say. And so that really brought me out of, like, the anger part of being deaf into, like, pride for being deaf.
Oh my goodness, I love it. That has to be difficult. So 3 years of just turmoil, right? And, like, that hate, sometimes we can live in it and it becomes our normal. And you got out of it. What were some of the things that you did to get out of it, other than, you know, joining this and going to this school? Like, personal, you know, things that you did, what were some of them?
A lot of it starts with, like, that self-hate of, like, you can't, right? Especially if you have a disability, you get told that you can't growing up. You get told constantly that you can't do things because you have some sort of disability. And so just going through that and really going from, like, I can't to I can was a huge piece for me. And the mental shift around that really changed my whole life.
I love it. And see, at Life Cope, we always talk about, like, the mental health, the mental peace. Like, I always tell people, if I can do it, you can too. You know, I came to this country at 10 years old, didn't speak the language, and now I get to talk to you guys on a podcast. And it's like, how? And it's like, look at you. You know, you went through all these things, and now you're helping the very same people that might be going through some of the things that you're going through. So some of the work that you do there, how does your personal life impact that? How do you bring, you know, some of that home, and how do you work through some of those trials and tribulations?
Well, a lot of it is just personal perspective. I mean, I can speak to being deaf, I can speak to having ADHD and depression, but I can't speak to being blind or having a physical disability. So a lot of it is bringing in those personal experiences of the things that happen to you out in the community, out in the world, and then how is this going to impact others? and really seeing where barriers are, and then collectively, you know, all kinds of different disabilities coming together to share their experiences, and you identify where those barriers are, and then you can actually work to fix them.
Yes, I love it. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. And the Independent Center is here in Colorado Springs, if you guys didn't know, and it's an amazing organization that is doing so many things for our disabled community, right? And I became aware of it because of this event called the Art of Accessibility, right? And I was just so wowed, because there's oftentimes that you don't think about disabilities that aren't necessarily a wheelchair, right? Like, that aren't necessarily visible. Mm-hmm. And it was a teachable moment for me, because it was really like, in my head, it was like a wheelchair equated disability.
Because you can see it.
Because you can see it, right? And with this, the Art of Accessibility, I love that the word disabled wasn't used,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we all have something within us. Like, you could have turned those 3 years into a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
You looked inward. You found whatever it is that you needed. And then here you are, affecting change, making a change in your community. And this is why you're inspirational. This is why, you know, like, I know in the email you're like, oh, I'm surprised Tim thought of me. And it's like, no, like, we have to take that pride. It's like, you are creating and making change in the community beyond you. And it's so selfless and it's so beautiful. But it's like, looking at you, I wouldn't know that. You know what I mean? Like, looking at you, it would just, it's also for those that are able, like, it's a teachable moment, because it's like, you oftentimes judge a book by its cover, mm-hmm. right? And I think that what you guys are doing at the Independent Center is crucial to sort of getting rid of those stigmas.
Absolutely.
You know? And you being so proud and, you know, turning that hatred into proudness, like, I love that. But how did that redefine your journey, not only for, like, your education, but, like, your personal life?
So, like, how did moving from the place of anger to place of pride redefine
yeah.
my personal life?
Yeah.
Oh, immensely. In those, so when I started to learn sign, and if you ever study identity development, you have a lot of, like, when people first, it's kind of like the stages of grieving.
Mm-hmm.
When you first get into finding, like, who you are, like, oh, I'm different, and you start to recognize
yes.
that, there's a lot of anger initially, mm-hmm. because you start to realize I'm different and people have treated me poorly for being different.
Right.
I'm sure that you've experienced this, coming from another country,
absolutely.
Speaking another language, and to change that from, like, that anger, and then move past the anger. And so when I started, I was very angry, and I kind of forsaked all of my hearing friends. Everybody
wow.
that didn't know how to sign, I was like, I don't have time for you. And then, you know, I went from one end of the spectrum to the other. And then eventually I came back into the middle piece, and I've been able to find a place in both the deaf and hearing communities. I'll never be entirely in one or the other, but just in both. And I think that both of them have beautiful, amazing things about them. And so being in both of them has really impacted my personal life immensely, like my self-esteem, my mental health, my relationships with people. I have
yeah.
incredible friends in the deaf community and incredible friends in the hearing community.
I love it. That is so beautiful, because you can coexist,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
exactly.
there's duality in life. I think oftentimes, you know, in the podcast, I always tell people, like, what is right for me might not be right for you, but you have to find that middle ground of what works for one,
yes.
right? And so your hearing aids, what was the correct term for them? What
I have a cochlear implant.
Okay, so tell us what that means, because I, educate me.
So hearing aids take the natural sound around you and they amplify it.
Okay.
Cochlear implant replaces it with electronic hearing.
Oh.
So I had to have surgery on my ear, and they cut your ear off, and they
wow.
cut all those ligaments and muscles back there, and they drill through your skull.
Wow.
And insert this electrode into your cochlea, which is like this little conch shell thing in your inner ear. And they insert this electrode into it, and mine has 22 electrodes on it. And so it stimulates different parts on the auditory nerve to uh-huh. represent sound.
Wow, that's incredible. And is that, like, a new technology? Like, I've, you know.
Fairly recently.
Yeah?
It's come about in my lifetime.
Wow.
The original one started with, like, one electrode, and now we're up to, I mean, I got mine when I was 21, and I'm 29 now, so 8 years ago.
Wow.
So even since then, when I got it, 22 electrodes, the technology has vastly improved since then.
Wow. So if there's someone out there that has like a family member or someone they know that's dealing with this, like, you would recommend absolutely going through? I mean, it sounds pretty extensive,
mm-hmm.
but would you recommend it? Is that something that you would definitely say look to that route?
Sort of.
Okay.
So I would hesitate to say I recommend it because okay. a lot of hearing people will pressure deaf people into getting cochlear implants because they think that it fixes them.
Gotcha.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with being deaf. So why do you need to be fixed?
I love that. That's a beautiful sentiment. You don't need to be fixed. You're yep. perfect just as you are.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, if somebody is looking and hearing aids are no longer an accessible device for them because their hearing loss is too profound, then if they are interested in it, absolutely. Cochlear implants are wonderful. I had hearing aids, and when I was profoundly deaf with my hearing aids, I could barely hear anything. It was just a lot of, like, you know, radio static.
Mm.
And then the cochlear implant, everything is clear.
Okay.
So it absolutely can help you if you're interested in that. That's... But I would hesitate because I don't want to push it on anybody.
But no, and I love that you're using that because there is nothing wrong with being deaf. And I think, like, here in Colorado Springs, you know, we have the Deaf and Blind School, and I think it's really beautiful what they do there. And we should cultivate that, you know, and you see these viral videos of, like, whole communities learning sign and, you know, whole communities coming together. And I think that it should be like that everywhere. You know,
absolutely.
Maybe we should know how to say hi or,
yes.
you know, something like that. But
don't be afraid of deaf people. We're
yes.
not scary. So many people are afraid. They hear the word deaf and it scares them because it's a different sort of living. Like, you live in a visual world instead of an auditory world. And so a lot of people get really scared about that, but it's not scary. And, you know, deaf people are totally willing to write back and forth with you. It's the hearing people that need to be willing to do it.
See, hearing people, are you hearing her? So tell me, like, what you're currently, like, working on. Is there, like, a passion project? Is there anything that community or personal, like, what are you working on right now?
Ooh. Currently I'm working on reaching out to a organization called HEARD, H-E-A-R-D, and it's helping, oh my gosh, I cannot remember what the acronym stands for. Helping something deaf people.
Okay.
But so they're focused on a lot of disability justice within the prison system.
Oh,
and
okay.
so you have a lot of deaf and hard of hearing people in the prison system who don't have access to phones, right?
Right.
You can't just call a normal hearing person phone on a voice phone because that doesn't work. And so there's a lot of deaf inmates who don't have access to contacting people outside of being incarcerated or even just at the initial stage of the judicial system and criminal justice system who have not had access to information and communication, and they're being wrongly taken in and arrested with no communication whatsoever. They're being put in jail with no communication whatsoever, and
oh my goodness.
Also they're going through court and not having any interpreters, and so they don't actually know and can't defend themselves or even hear the testimony of the people against them to even defend themselves. And so this is a huge issue in
yeah.
our judicial system. And so I'm reaching out with that organization, and I really want to start working with them and seeing what we can do here
wow.
in Colorado.
Yeah. See, you're teaching me so much right now. I didn't even know, like, I guess you don't consider, you know, like, that it could affect them at that very core, you
mm-hmm.
know. Just like with, like, lower income, like, you can't pay the fine or you can't, you know, pay the bail. So
yep.
you're in jail. There's nothing
yep.
you can do about it, right?
Yep.
And there's some – and what I like about – I'm going to reference the Art of Accessibility again – is that you reference that. Just like the lack of accessibility, it's just the same as other groups that are not well represented.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And, like, so there's a lot of that social model of disability
yeah.
of, like, it's not – so the medical model of disability is the historical model, is that, you know, the disabled person themselves is the one who's broken
mm-hmm.
and needs to be fixed. And the social model is it's society that's broken that needs to be fixed, right? It's not the person, but it's the world around them. And
right.
so instead of saying that we need to fix the person, we actually need to fix the access
yes.
and the accommodations for people, instead of saying that you're wrong and broken, and then now that becomes internalized and this person feels terrible about themselves. But instead it's like, no, society is broken and we need to fix that.
Yes. And the Art of Accessibility shows just that, because when I went to the gallery, there was photos of, like, basic things that, like, you don't even consider someone not being able to access or being able to just enjoy basic things in life because of, you know, X, Y, or Z, you know, disability. And, you know, as an able person, it really makes you take a seat back and a look back at your, like, your privilege and how you use that privilege. And I think those of you that are hearing right now and that you're, you know, you're listening, get involved in your community. See how you can help. You know, I think there's so many ways that if just paying attention will do major things. Willing to write back and forth will do major things, because that's going to boost the confidence. Not only, you know, do I feel like I'm communicating with someone that I might have not been able to, but now this person feels like, wow, they care enough to take the time to do this. And guys, it starts with us. It really does. I think that if you're able and you're not doing something more outside of yourself, then you need to ask yourself, like, redefine what it means for you to be a community member, to be, you know, part of this thing we call society. Because there's so many of us out there that are less fortunate, that are not, you know, that are not doing the best that we can. And oftentimes I think if we could all just put a little grain, you know, plant little seeds where it's like, it's okay to be deaf, but it's also okay to, like, get these implants. And it's also okay to navigate life however you see fit, as long as, like, you keep forward, like, what your message is. And I think for you, it's so beautiful that you didn't allow these things to define you.
Yeah.
That you didn't allow those 3 years of hate to become your life. You know, because so many people do allow it to become their life. And with Life Cope, we always try to tell people, like, choose happy. You know, find what makes you happy. Find out there what is going to make you fulfill yourself. Self, right? Like, take care of you first, because then you can go out there and take care of the world just like you're doing. So, one last question. If you could meet someone, dead or alive, woman, that inspires you, who would it be?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I just hit you in it.
Probably Golda Meir.
Yeah?
Yes. She was a big part of my childhood. I read all of her books, watched her movies. My family is Jewish, so that was a big part of it. She was a huge piece of founding of Israel and and just, like, safety for Jews and that. And she was, you know, a woman in the man's world at that time.
Yes.
And so she's someone that I would love to just sit down and talk to.
Wouldn't that be lovely, right?
Yes.
Elle, thank you so much for being here. If people, you know, want to find some of the work that you, that you're doing, where could they go? The Independence website?
The Independence Center website. Yeah, you can just reach me there if you go into the contacts if you needed to reach me. But most of my work is going to be on the Independence Center website.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, guys, so go check out the Independence Center website. I will also have that on a link on our social medias. Elle, thank you so much. Thank you for being inspiring. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing in the community. And you guys, there is going to be on the 24th at the Independence Center, there is going to be a writing workshop, a disability writing workshop on the art of accessibility. So if this could be for anyone, if you have a family member, if you want to find out more, come and join us. Also, go to the website. You know, they're doing amazing things. There's programs for all kinds of different, you know, disabilities and groups of people. And Elle is taking a huge part in that, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
Guys, you can go to our website, lifecopeapp.com, or you can catch up with me, nancyiperez.com. I will catch you next week. See ya.